and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Yes. Speak your word and it shall not stand, for God is with us. Your Bibles to the book of 2 Samuel, the 18th chapter, reading from the 19th verse to the 33rd verse. 2 Samuel 18, 19 to 33. The rules have changed. It's a new season. Amen. Thank you, Lord. One of study about Cush and Ahimaaz.
Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, let me now run and bear the king tidings, how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies. And Joab said unto him, thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day.
Underline that. You will not run today. You will not bear tidings today, but you will bear tidings another day. It stands to reason, as a logician, that you may not be relevant for something today, but that does not mean that your relevance has ended. That does not mean that you are no more relevant. It means that your relevance is for another day, but not today. Today is for someone else. And you must be flexible and willing to stand aside when it's the turn of another. You will bear good tidings another day. But today is for somebody who has been behind. Somebody you overtook. Somebody that you are above. Somebody else. Today is for someone else. It's always been you. But your relevance is not for this season. Your relevance is for another season. You must learn, when season change, to change with the seasons. You can't wear your winter coat in summer because you like your winter coat. Neither can you wear your summer jacket in winter because you look good in it. When season change, the tragedy in life with all of us is refusing to change when season change. Our inability to recognize the change of the times and the seasons and the rules is the reason for the demise of so many. The reason why some people become bitter in life, unhappy, mean, cold, always offended, always hurt, critical of others, and even critical of themselves, and always misinterpreting events, and always having wrong perceptions of everything and everybody, is because of their inability to understand and to recognize when the rules change and when the seasons change, when the dynamics becomes different, and they still want to stay with the old rules. The season has changed. And when season change, you change with the seasons. Go ahead.
But this day thou bear no tidings.
Today you will bear no tidings.
Because the king's son is dead.
It's a different dynamic today. Even though you've been relevant, close to leadership, you've always had the ears of the king. You've been the minister of information and always be the one that speaks for the king and the palace and the presidency. And always, you have been the voice all these years. You are swift. You have stamina, capacity, capabilities, speed. Yet, the seasons have changed. And you must recognize that when the seasons change and the dynamics are different, you could be relevant, but you don't have what it takes today. The king's son is dead. It's a different season and dynamics. And go ahead, read.
Then said Joab to Cushai, go tell the king what thou hast seen. And Cushai bowed himself.
Cushite, go tell Cush or Cushite, go tell the king what you've seen. You were an eyewitness. So tell what you've seen. An eyewitness is one that can take a bullet for what he has seen. An eyewitness is one that can die for what he has seen. And he said, you are an eyewitness. And therefore, run with what you've seen. Ahimaaz is not an eyewitness. He can run and outrun you. He has skill you don't have, speed you don't have, stamina you don't have, access you don't have, but he's not an eyewitness. He doesn't have a message to run with today. You are the one that have the message relevant for the time. You have what it takes for the moment and the season. So run as an eyewitness. Ahimaaz, you didn't see it. You are not an eyewitness. You can't stand before the king and mess up. Let me save you an embarrassment. Stand aside. Ahimaaz said, no, I'm the man. I've always been the man. I'm going to still run, even though I don't have a message, and I am not an eyewitness. Go ahead.
And Cushai bowed himself unto Joab and ran. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, but howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushai. And Joab said, wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready?
You don't, it's not your turn. You've always been the one, but it's the turn of others. Let another run. You've been the heavyweight champion, but there is one young one who have been practicing, exercising muscles, and have built stamina, and have new skills and capabilities from behind the scenes. Stand aside and let him go for everybody else, and win the victory for everybody else. And Ahimaaz said, no, I'm the one that always calls the goals. And the coach said, give the ball to that young man. He's close to the post. He has a skill. He will push it in the ball, win the goal. He said, no, I've always been the one who wins and scores the goals. And then the coach said, you have my permissive will. Go ahead. Sometimes you got to be careful when your father and mother say, go ahead. It's not every go ahead that comes with a blessing. Sometimes you can push God and push leadership for what you want. And God will say, okay, if that is what you want, go ahead. You can have it. That is what we call the permissive will of God. Go ahead.
But howsoever, said he, let me run. And he said unto him, run. Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and overran.
You want to run? Run. You want to run? Run. When there's someone else in the race, when it's the turn of somebody else, he still wanted to run. He said, go ahead, run. Go ahead.
Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and overran Cushai.
You see, he didn't just run. He overtook. So overtaking doesn't mean that you are in the will of God. He didn't just run. Even when it was not his turn, he was still winning. But that winning was not going to end well, because it was not his turn. It was his turn to stand aside to allow someone else. But he said, no, I'm used to winning, so I got to win at all times. Sometimes it's not about winning, because you can win and still lose, and you can lose and still win. It all depends on what season you are in. Go ahead.
And David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up
to the roof. Underline the word David. I'll tell you something. Here, they didn't say, and the king, they said David, sat in the two gates. He sat there not as a king, but as a father, looking for a son who rebelled against him and wanted to kill him. Gave up his kingship, throne, dominion, ready to die for a son who rebelled against a father, taking advantage of a father's vulnerability and weakness. Go ahead.
And David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate onto the wall, and lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running alone. And the watchman cried and told the king.
You see, first it was David, then now the king. The dynamics were different. Because one, he called him a king. Another time he said, David. Go ahead.
And the king said, if he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth.
Uh-huh.
And he came apace and drew near. And the watchman saw another man running. And the watchman called unto the porter and said, behold, another man running alone. And the king said, he also bringeth tidings. And the watchman said, methinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz the son of Zadok. And the king said, he is a good man and cometh with good tidings.
You see, it's not enough for you to be a good man and a good woman. You must understand the dynamics of the seasons. Because you can be a good man and a good woman and be disqualified when the seasons and the rules changes. And you still want to stay with the old season. The king said, Ahimaaz is a good man. He's been around the throne. He's my minister of information. He declares every decision cabinet takes. He's my spokesman. He speaks for me. He understands the way I think, my psyche. He speaks for me. He's the man. He's a good man. He brings good tidings. But that day was not a day of good tidings. It was another kind of tidings. And he didn't have the tidings for that day. So he needed to step aside. Go ahead.
And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, all is well. And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, blessed be the Lord thy God, which have delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my lord the king. And the king said, is the young man Absalom safe? And Ahimaaz answered, when Joab sent the king's servant and me thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. And the king said unto him, turn aside and stand here. And he turned aside and stood still.
You see, that was unnecessary. Joab was trying to save him of this embarrassment. The king said, why have you wasted my time? You are not an eyewitness. You are not relevant for the moment. You don't have what I need. You didn't see it. The message I'm looking for is not what you came with. You ran to me without a message. Stand aside. Let another come. What I want to hear and what I need to know, you don't have it. You shouldn't have come this day. With your tidings, stand aside, irrelevant for the season. Go ahead.
And behold, Cushai came, and Cushai said, tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. And the king said unto Cushai, is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushai answered, the enemies of my lord the king, and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt, be as that young man is. And the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee. O Absalom, my son.
David fought many battles in life. As a young man, by his hand, he killed a lion and a bear that came to the sheepfold and took a lamb. And prevailed. He killed a giant by the name of Goliath from Gath And all the five giants from Goliath's father, David, and his mighty men slew them all. David was a man that could kill 1,000 men with a hand. And it was said that it would take 12,000 men by Ahithophel to capture David. That was how strong and swift the man was. He was fierce in battle. He devoured. He was unstoppable. He made a lot of mistakes, yet he had special exemptions and mercies. And David had fought all kinds of battles, external battles and war. And this particular time, he was dealing with one of the last battles of his life before he had to hand over the mantle, the baton, and the throne to his son, who became one of the wisest kings that ever lived, Solomon. And this particular son was born out of wedlock. And sometimes people born out of wedlock, for whatever reason, God has this attitude, and I don't know how to put it in the right language of understanding, but he has this tendency of picking people who are nobodies and making somebodies out of them and nothing out of something, you see. Because Solomon shouldn't have become king for so many reasons, and I'll show you why. And this was one of the last battles of David before he will give up and die and go to eternity. And this particular battle was a very serious one. It wasn't an external battle. It was the battle of all ages. It was a battle involving a son he loved by the name of Absalom. It was a battle of flesh, of his own flesh, blood of his own blood. It was an emotional battle and a psychological warfare when he had to fight what he loved. He fought what he hated. And when you are fighting something you hate, you have the passion and the audacity to conquer it. But when you are fighting something and you have to kill something you love, it's very difficult. It was an emotional battle. It was a battle where he had to deal with people he cared for and loved. Not just Absalom, but Ahithophel, who was a man his equal. Go to Psalm 55. Let's look at what the Bible calls Ahithophel. A man his equal, a companion, a friend, took sweet counsels of God together, went to church and fellowship together. Strong bond, strong friendship for 40 years. A battle of betrayal, dealing with betrayal from a loved one, one that was loyal, had become bitter. And it was the test of David's character and the test of the character of the people around David, like his son Absalom. Ahithophel's character was on the line. It was a test of Ahithophel's character, the man of Gilead, the balm of Gilead. Ahithophel from the land of Gilead, where the balm of Gilead came from. And yet he could not deal with offense and pain. His character was tested to see whether he would stay loyal even in the mistake of David. In a mistake of premeditated adultery and murder, can you still stay loyal? And he had every right to be disloyal. He had every right to turn against David. And he just didn't turn against David. He joins David's own flesh and blood, son by the name of Absalom, to drive his father out of the palace, to take the throne from his dad, and to kill his father. And at this time, the father was thinking more about the son and not about the kingdom or the nation of Israel and the future of the nation. He was very emotional because he had to do with a son of his own loins. And you never face a battle where your character is tested and tried until it's an in-house battle. When it affects your emotion, your own blood, and your own flesh, then we will see the strength of your character. Everybody can fight what you hate, and everybody can face an enemy. But when it comes to choosing between a loved one and the destiny for which you were born, I call it eternal destiny and earthly destinies. That is where we know the strength of character that you have. Look at what the Bible says.
Verse 12. For it was not an enemy that reproached me.
You see, then said, I could have borne it. It wasn't an enemy. If it was an enemy, I could have handled it.
Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself.
Again, verse 12.
For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it.
He said, if it was an enemy, I'm used to fighting an enemy. I've killed a lion and a bear. I slew a giant by the name of Goliath. I escaped 24 assassination attempts from the hands of King Saul. I survived. But this is a different battle for me. It's one of the last battles of David before he had to give up the throne to Solomon and die. And everything tested him. He was tried and tested. And I've always said that you can hang around me, but unless you've been tested and tried, I don't trust you. Because in life, there can be moments of vulnerability. And it's dangerous for people to hang around greatness when they are not broken. And when they haven't been tested and tried, you are a risk to greatness. And that was the problem. That was the problem with one of the sons of a great preacher who preached righteousness and holiness for 120 years and was rejected, Noah. Noah was rejected for 120 years for preaching the same thing, misunderstood, criticized, misrepresented, accused for 120 years, and yet he didn't change the message. And nobody believed him, and nobody entered the ark with him except his children. And it was only those who followed him that were saved, and those who didn't believe perished. And he came to a time in his life that after such a great victory and triumph, having established a covenant with Elohim after the flood, raised an altar to Elohim, and God established a new covenant with him and said, I will bless and raise a new earth from your loins, and it will be your children. But God said, I will cause your mistake, your error, your sin to be a test for your sons and every one of your three sons, and let me test the strength of their character through your mistake to see who is qualified to carry this mantle and this blessing. And the three sons did not know that their father's mistake and error was a test for them. It was something that God allowed to see the strength of their character to determine who was qualified to carry the oil and the mantle for the next move of God. Ahithophel, loyalty was tested by David's mistake and sin. Absalom, the son of David, his loyalty and the strength of his character was tested by his father's sin. And sometimes God will use the mistake and the vulnerability of your father and of your mother and of leaders to test the strength of your character, to see what you are capable of, to see whether you have the capabilities and the discipline and the grace and the understanding to stand, to cover, or to betray and to misbehave. And hear me, Noah, as great as he was, became drunk. It was so unnecessary. And naked, state of vulnerability. And one of the things that the Bible never talks about, I was silenced about, and I didn't understand it when I was a young preacher, but I do now, and I don't even like preaching it, is the wife. The Bible was silenced about the wife. Where was she at that time when he laid in the tent alone, naked? The Bible was silenced about it, never said anything about it and why it was done. And nobody understood what the circumstances was and what led to that situation of him being drunk to the point where he was so heavily drunk that he became naked. Then went Ham, one of the sons among the three, to the tent and saw the nakedness, the error, and the vulnerability of his father and could not handle it. Babes, amateurs in the Lord, they can't handle the vulnerability of fathers and parents and leadership. They have a problem of spiritual pride and arrogance. And that was the problem of Ham. He couldn't handle it. He just couldn't not believe. How can the old man be in this state and condition? I can't believe it. I can't believe what I'm seeing. Can't believe what I'm hearing. And went out in the name of whatever to reveal it to his brethren that, Charlie, something is going on. We need to pray. There's something happening here. We really need to pray. And sometimes in the name of prayer meetings, we reveal things we don't have to reveal. And the two brothers said, fine, we've heard. But this kind of prayer, we have to pray reflecting. So the Bible said the two of them went backwards. Going backwards means they reflected. They reflected. They said, let's think and see where we've come from. And when we were vulnerable, he was strong. Let us not betray him on the day of his vulnerability. Let's cover him. He's still our father. And they went backwards and they covered him. And when the Bible said he awoke from his state of drunkenness and sleep, he knew what has happened to him. The Ham had forgotten that in the mouth of that man, drunk, naked, vulnerable, was the curse and the blessing that would determine all the three sons' future destiny up to today, even after the blood of Jesus was shed. Now, a lot of people believe that the black man was cursed. I don't believe it. The Bible said, and Noah cursed Canaan and said, cursed be Canaan, servant of servants shall he be. Canaan dwelled in the land of Canaan, the Canaanites. Whatever they are today, I don't want to go into that controversy. I'll leave it alone. You figure it out yourself. But Ham was not cursed. Ham was ignored. He wasn't cursed. He was not blessed. He was ignored. The father just ignored him. He didn't look at him. And he cursed the last son by the name of Canaan. We came from Ham, but we were not cursed. We were not also blessed. The name of our father, one of the sons of Ham, was Cush. And the word Cush means the man with the dark skin.
For it was not an enemy that reproached me that I could have borne. Neither was it he that hated me.
I can deal with anyone who hates me. I can handle it. Go ahead.
For then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal.
It was thou, a man my equal. You were my not president, guy. But you are my equal. You think at the level and at the frequency I think and hear. Go ahead.
My equal.
My equal.
My guide.
My guide. When I need counseling, I come to you. I tell you, you know my secret. My guide.
Mm-hmm. My acquaintance.
My acquaintance.
We took sweet counsel together.
Sweet counsel. We laugh together. We have secrets together.
And we walked unto the house of God in company.
We go to church in company. You pick me up, I pick you up. We drive in the same car. After church, we go to lunch. We do things together. We wear the same dress, collar, shoes, everything. Same perfume, everything. Hairstyle, everything, same. Whether from India or from China or Japan, same. Go ahead.
So let's death seize upon
okay,
them.
Okay, stop there. Let me not go into all that. You see? The prayer David prayed, it was so strategic. And he had to pray that prayer because he had too much to lose. You see, when you are dealing with greatness, you have to be very careful. He had too much to lose. And because of where he stood and the understanding he had to pray the prayer he prayed that God, this guy, he knows too much. And the only way you can protect your kingdom and your investment in me is to take him out. He must die. No room for repentance. Take him out. And if you look at the prayer, he said, let death seize on him now. I don't want him to have a second for any intercessor or any prophet to see. Take him out before any seer sees it. Fast. Quick. Okay. Stop there. Look at me. That was the fight of David's life. Very, very difficult battle. And Ahimaaz was playing with this particular time of David's life and was taking things for granted, familiarity, and thought that he can come before the king at any time. You know, in the Old Testament, if you were a king's cupbearer and you went before the king with a straight countenance, they'll kill you. Because kings are so powerful that countenance means a lot. So you can't come on me, I haven't offended you, I'm doing you good, I haven't done anything. Then you make your face, why? Tell somebody, say, why? Okay, look at the scripture, quickly, look at scripture. Come with me to Jeremiah 23, verse 21. Jeremiah 23, 21.
I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied.
He said, there are a lot of prophets running that I haven't sent them. And there are prophets prophesying. I have not spoken to them. I don't know them. They haven't heard my voice. This is a two-edged sword, which also stands to reason as a logician, that there are some prophets who used to run because they heard from me and I sent them. They prophesy because I spoke to them. But the season has changed. I've called them maybe to teach, to pastor, to do something else, and not to prophesy. But the pressure of the people is forcing them to still run and to still prophesy, even though I have stopped using them in the area of the prophetic. Let me show you some scriptures before we close. Come with me to Matthew chapter 19 and verse 30. Matthew 19, 30.
But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first.
You see, this will only happen when the rules change. That's the only thing that will cause many who are first. And it's going to happen spiritually, politically, in all aspects of life, in the business field, in the financial field, gas and oil field. It's going to happen. There are certain people who are so relevant today who have no value and respect for others because they think they have arrived and the rules will change. The rules will change so that men will know that God is God. Are you hearing me, somebody? I'm telling you. The rules will change so that those who are not qualified will become qualified. So that nobodies will become somebodies overnight. So that people who are nothing will become something to make a statement that God can do what he pleases to do. He said, it is not him that willeth, nor him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. And God can do whatever he chooses to do because he's God all by himself. Somebody lift up your hand, shout yes. Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. Matthew 5, 4.
Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted.
If you have mourned before today, you are about to be comforted. The season you were in before you heard this message is a season of mourning, but after hearing this message, you have entered a season of comfort. I said you've entered the season of comfort. Amen. Come into the season of comfort. If you believe it, say yes. Come with me to Matthew chapter 5 verse 6.
Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.
For they shall be filled. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Brother, have it. Fill me till I want no more. Fill my cup. Fill it up. And make me whole. Fill my cup, Lord. Lift up your hands. Come and quench the testing of my soul. My soul. Bread of heaven. Fill me.
Fill me till I want no more.
Feel my God.
Fill me.
Feel my cup, Lord. Oh, I lift it up, Lord. Come
and quench.
Well, this
testing
of my soul. Come with me to Isaiah chapter 40, 1 and 2. Let me download this now.
Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished.
Your warfare is accomplished. I said the prayer and the fasting is accomplished. You've won the victory right now. You have the upper hand right now. Speak unto her and say your warfare is accomplished. If you believe it, shout yes. Go ahead.
That her iniquity is pardoned.
Hear me. He said your iniquity, I'm not holding it against you. Iniquity is serious than sin and transgression. And iniquity is when you become addicted to a particular habit and a sin. And he said, even your iniquity is pardoned. I don't hold anything against you, so loose yourself from that guilt of that iniquity. He said, it's pardoned. And look at the country. Look at something he said. This is very powerful. Go ahead.
For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins.
He said, from the hands of the Lord, I'm giving you double for things you should have had that you were denied of because of the sin, you have double. You didn't hear what I said. Double for all your sin from the hand of the Lord, though. Not from the atmosphere, not from a preacher, but from the Lord's hand. Double for all your sin. Divine compensation for sin. If the devil think that he could stop you because of sin, he could use sin or iniquity to stop you. And that is what he's using to hinder you, to deny you, even though the rules have changed. And that has become an injunction. God said, I'm revoking the injunction. I'm canceling the consequences of the iniquity. I'm not holding it against you anymore to stop you because the rules have changed. If you believe it, sound yes. It's serious. God said, you are acquitted and discharged. Whatever it is that holds you at ransom, whatever mistakes you made in the past that has given the enemy the audacity to have the upper hand and to have dominion and advantage, God said, I'm revoking it. I'm taking the fight out of it. I'm taking the weapon out of the enemy's hand. He has nothing on you to stop you. Any demonic injunction, say any demonic injunction, they have obtained from satanic courts on me, on my moment, a breakthrough, any injunction, demonic injunction obtained in demonic courts in Africa, North America, Latin America, Europe, Asia, to deny me of the manifestation of my blessing and breakthrough on my Kairos moment, say, I revoke the injunction. Say, by the blood of my covenant, I revoke. I revoke the injunction in the name of Jesus. Say amen. Sit down. God said, whatever the enemy will use, whatever he will use as a case, as a technicality and a legality, God said, I squash the technicality. He said, I squash the legality. God said, I would dismiss the argument. Somebody is raising an objection. Say, I raise a divine injunction. Say, divine objection. Say, I issue counter motion, counter decrease, counter attack, counter command by the blood of Jesus against every demonic injunction. In the name of Jesus, say yes. Say, I overrule every demonic objection. I overrule every demonic objection, verdicts, and injunction. Say, I overrule every demonic injunction by the blood of my covenant. I overrule, say overrule, from North America to Latin America, Europe and Asia, and Africa. I overrule demonic injunctions and objections. Come to Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 11.
I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift.
Again, race. It's always about race. It's always about race. It's not him that willeth, nor him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. The race. Go ahead.
Nor the battle to the strong.
He said the race is not to people who are fast, who have stamina, skill, capability, or swiftness. He said it's not for just you, because you think you're smart, you've always been running. No. He said this time around, the rules have changed. And because the rules have changed, what was impossible can be possible. So be careful. Tell somebody, careful. Tell somebody, I know you are the one now. I know you are the man. I know you are the woman. I know you are blessed. I know you are loaded. I know you are ahead. But be careful, because the rules have changed. Go ahead.
So neither yet bread to the wise.
He said, the battle is not for
strong
men and women of strength or macho, power nor might. He said, the weak can win. The weak can win. The unqualified can be qualified. Go ahead.
Neither yet bread to the wise.
He said, bread, provision. Divine provision does not come to you because you are wise. I'm telling you. I've seen people blessed and loaded, and you talk to them, they don't make sense. They don't make sense of anything. And you meet them and meet others who make sense of everything and yet are broke. And you meet somebody who don't make sense of anything and yet loaded, and you ask yourself, how did this happen?
Nor yet
when
riches.
When the rules change, anything is impossible. Nobody's can become somebody's. Nothing can become somebody's.
It's a nor yet riches to men of understanding.
Riches. People ignorant. The ignorant can be loaded. And people who have been to Yale, Harvard, Oxford, Cambridge, Princeton, the best of schools, with understanding, broke. And the poor call them poor. And yet you see somebody, no understanding, and yet loaded. And you ask yourself, why? It's not fair. Life is not fair.
Nor yet favor to men of skill.
You see some people, they have favor. Sometimes you see a man and a woman, and you ask yourself, how did these two get together? You see the man is wonderfully made, and the woman is fearfully made. Or the woman is wonderfully made and the man is fearfully made, and yet they are together. And you see two wonderfully made and they are not together. You don't understand. Life is not fair.
It's about time and chance. Happiness to them
all. Hey, it's my turn. It's my chance. It's your time. It's my time. The rules have changed. Somebody shout, yes. Look at me. It's not the school you attended, though. It's not the school you attended. You see, Prince Charles, Prince Williams, all these guys, it's not the school they attended. It's the family they were born into. That's it. Prince William's wife. It's not anything to do with beauty. There are more beautiful ladies in Britain. She's married into privilege. So suddenly, what do they call her? Duchess. Do it and say, Duchess. You're about to come into a privileged family. Let me show you something. I need four brothers from the choir and two sisters. One of my daughters, she's here, she had a strange dream. And let me show you the interpretation of her dream, how God can change the rules to favor you. I want the two of you to face this way. Two to face. One, behind. You be behind them. Yeah, go a step behind. You stay at the back there. Now, I'm going to ask all of you to run towards Bishop Nyaku. When I say about 10, turn around. Now, right now, these two are in privileged position. Second privilege, third privilege. She is last. Disadvantage. She's behind everybody. Are you hearing me? But the one that is last, when the rules change, can become first. Now, hear me. Now, I want you to run towards Bishop. When I say about 10, turn around and start running towards this way. Start running. Stay in your lane. About 10. You see? Who is now leading? Hear me. Stand on your feet. You can be behind. You can be the last and become first. Financially, you are behind. Economically, you are behind. Maritally, you are behind. But you are coming from behind. About 10. Are you hearing me, somebody? Somebody shout about 10. Turn around. Turn around and say about 10. About 10. About 10. About 10. Shout divine turn around. Divine turn around. Somebody shout divine. Divine. Turn around. Hallelujah. Blessed. Assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Well, 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 well. Well, this
is my story.
With your hands lifted all over this place.
This is my story.
Yeah.
Praise my
says, for it is written, all things work together. Is that what the Bible says? The Bible says it is written. Paul said it is written. All things work together for good. No, he didn't say that. He said, for we know. Knowing and it is written are two different things. For we know. For we know. We want. Know. We have a knowing. An experience. We've seen evil work together for good. We've seen tragedy work together for good. We've seen mistakes work together for good. We've seen bad things work together for good. I may not be where I'm supposed to be right now, but I'm coming, I'm coming. Are you hearing me, somebody? I may not have anything today. I'm picking taxi. Even truck drivers don't want to pick me right now. Even taxis, you know? Stop, stop allowing your present to determine your future. Tell somebody, don't judge me by the way I look right now. Don't do it. Don't judge me by how I look right now. You make a mistake. I may not have anything right now. Hear me? You may be down today, but tomorrow, you'll be the one rising up. It doesn't matter where you are. I came to announce that the rules have changed. The seasons have changed. The only thing that stands between you and your change is you, your unbelief, your ignorance, and any injunction they have obtained from satanic courts against you. By the lifting of your hands, let the injunction be canceled right now.
Prayer is the opportunity to fellowship and commune with God, to make your requests known to Him and experience the manifestation of God in your life. Introducing Prayer Moves God, a new book from Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams.
I'm Archbishop Duncan Williams. I'm so excited to announce to you that one of my latest books is out, Prayer Moves God.
Prayer Moves God will reveal the dominion mandate, God's original plan for mankind. It will help you understand the rules of engagement to be effective in your prayers. It will also teach you how to partner with God and be instrumental in the coming revival. Prayer Moves God is sure to revolutionize your prayer life and put you in position for your personal breakthrough. Prayer Moves God by Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams. Get your copy today.